Now, tonight we're going to study the tribulation. You know, I was thinking about all of this, and all this that is going on now, all of this that's happening now in our world, just the chaos and the confusion. You know, I'm not a date setter, and I'm not an extremist when it comes to things like that. Like, you know, okay, Jesus is coming back in 6 months or anything. I'm not anything like that. But as you look at the world we're in now, and you look at the world we're in now through the pages of the Bible, and what the Bible says about prophecy, which is a tremendous percentage of the Bible, is prophecy, and much of it's still in our future. You just got to say, you know, it seems as if things are coming into place that would set up for the scenario of what the Bible talks about the last days. Now, it could be, you know, 1,000 years before Jesus comes again. But my sneaking suspicion is that is not going to be the case. We are in a chaotic world. We're in a dangerous world, a very dangerous world. There are nuclear powers now, and they hate us. As much as we want to be friends, the United States is target number one. Israel is target number two. Now, why is Israel target number two? You know, if you just sit back and you think about it, why would Israel be a target for anybody? They're a small nation, isolated nation. I mean, why isn't Italy a target? Why in the world after Italy? Or why in the world after Libya or something? Why is the United States target number one for so many people in the world and Israel target number two? And if you just, you know, sit back and just think about that, why is that the case? Well, you know, it's a part of the world, it's a part of what is happening, and it's a part of biblical fulfillment that would be the case. And so as I look at the world and try to understand the world through the pages of the Bible, I just truly believe that we are in the latter part of the last days. Now, when Jesus comes again, I don't know when that's going to be. I don't know when all of this is going to begin to happen. But we're all distressed about the world. And if sinful people like us are distressed about the world, can you imagine what a holy God feels about the world and what's happening in the world? And as I study our own country, I know the number one obstacle to any worldwide domination from someone like the Antichrist would be the United States of America. We're a freedom-loving people. We have been a freedom, a people who have stood for freedom and democracy and hope. We've been that, you know, since the inception of our nation, as our nation has grown. And in order for there to be this worldwide confederation of nations under the power of the Antichrist, the United States of America, something's got to happen to us. And so our nation is being deconstructed. That's what's happening. Our nation, our heritage, our history is being deconstructed before our very eyes. And the rapture will take the heart of America out of America, the best and the brightest of America, out of America. And, there could be a coalition of enemies. What would it take one of these days for Russia and China, Iran, and all these evil actors to come together and say, well, we have a common enemy and let's do what we need to do? I mean, I hate to be a fear monger. I don't want to be a fear monger or anything like that. But we are in perilous times. I really believe we're in perilous times. This world will not continue the way it's going. If it does, we're really in big time trouble, you know. But one of these days, the Lord is going to put into action the prophecies that He has laid out for us about the end time events. Now, for a lot of people, they dismiss all of this. They would never teach anything like this in their church. They dismiss, the idea of the rapture. They dismiss that idea. They dismiss the idea of a tribulation. They look at those verses that we look at, and they have a different interpretation, or they just completely ignore it. You know, there's a lot of picking and choosing among some denominations and some professing Christians when it comes to the Bible. They kind of pick and choose what they're going to look at and how they interpret things. And if they don't like something in the Bible, they say that God didn't write that, man wrote it. Paul didn't write that. I mean, God didn't write that. That was Paul's personal opinion. Therefore, you can dismiss Paul's personal opinion. And so what they accept is what they think God wrote, and what they think God wrote is what they agree with, and what they disagree with, man wrote it. So, but I truly believe we're rapidly approaching those days. Now, we've looked at the rapture. That is the next great event on God's prophetic calendar. And so one of these days, that as described in the Bible is going to happen. There's going to be the great disappearance. Millions of people around the world will be gone in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. The cemeteries will be disrupted with the bodies of believers being resurrected, remade, and all of that. The world's not going to see it, but it's going to happen. All they're going to see is the aftermath of it. And then the whole spiritual atmosphere of the world's going to change. The salt and light of the earth is gone. Christian people are gone. And the restraining power of the Holy Spirit to hold back evil will be withdrawn as well, the Bible teaches. And so the evil that is possible in the world, there's a lot more evil possible than is a reality right now. You know that? I mean, there's a lot of evil, but there's a lot more evil that could be reality. And when the restraining power of the Holy Spirit is taken away, what is the evil that is possible will become a reality in the world. You have the rapture. In the aftermath of the rapture, there'll be chaos. You know, there'll be clamoring. The world's going to change. And then out of that chaos is going to step forward the powers that be. Will come together and they'll say, we got to do something. We got to get the world under control. There'll be a singular figure, the Bible teaches, who will step forward, who will gain power by his personality. We looked at the Antichrist last week. And he will calm the world down, and he will be seen as the hero of the world. And the world will put its hope in him, and he will drop hints that he has been sent by God, that he is the promised one that has been sent by God. He won't come out and say that immediately, but he'll drop hints and people will fall in line with all of that. And he'll say, look, we got to have peace in the Middle East. We can't be fighting one another. God's taken all these Christians out of the way so that we can advance as humanity. God has done us a great service. And so he negotiates a treaty with Israel and Muslim world, those who are enemies of Israel. Temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem. There's no temple in Jerusalem now, but it will be rebuilt under the guise, under the direction of the Antichrist. He will sign a treaty with Israel as a representative of the world. And as we'll look at, and Daniel says that it'll be a 7-year security treaty. And when he signs that treaty, that's when a period of time called the tribulation will begin. So we're going to look at tonight the tribulation. And we're going to look at the definition of the tribulation, the description of the tribulation, the duration of the tribulation, and the design, the purpose. Why is there a tribulation? Why does God allow this time to happen? So before we do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for a good and blessed day today. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the privilege of being in your house, this beautiful place that has been the center and the heart of so much good in this community and so much good in the world. The gospel has been preached here. The gospel has been proclaimed. Good things in the name of the Lord has been accomplished here. People have been saved, and a great church has grown. And Father, we thank you for this place, and we pray that the days to come, even though these may be perilous times, we pray that the days to come will be great days of witness and great days of outreach and even great days of revival for this church, even as we are in these days. Lord, let it be so. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your grace. May the Holy Spirit of God now help us to understand your truth as we look into your word. We just want to know, Lord, your truth. And we want to have the blessed assurance that you are in charge and you are in control. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let me give you assurance. We'll get you those, for those of you who want the outlines and stuff, we'll get that out to you next week. I'm sorry, I was playing with my grandson last week, so I didn't get it done, but we'll get it out for you next week. And anybody who wants that, just chrishall71@hotmail.com. You know, 71 is my goal of shooting in golf. I've shot a 72, you know, right through the clown's mouth. No. All right, so if you want those, we'll be happy to do that. All right, let's first of all look at, we were talking about the tribulation. So what is the definition of the tribulation? Now, if you've seen the movie, you know, Left Behind movies. Good movies. Kirk Cameron, great guy. Wonderful Christian man who continues to have a great Christian testimony. You know, I enjoyed those movies. I enjoyed the books. And you saw the depiction of the rapture. Wasn't Nicolas Cage also? And he was in one of those movies, wasn't he? That was a really big, and he, you know why he did that movie? He did that movie because I think he has a sister-in-law who's a Christian and wanted him to do the, he was in a Left Behind thing or a rapture thing or something. Anyway, so you saw in those movies, you see the depiction of the rapture and then the aftermath of the tribulation. So let's talk about that. First of all, the definition of the term tribulation. Where do we get that term? You know, a lot of times we talk about things in the Bible and the words are not necessarily in the Bible that we talk about. For instance, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. Now, the truth of the Trinity is, right? But the word Trinity itself you won't find in the Bible. But it is an accurate description of the triune nature of God, that we worship one God who is the perfect union of three divine persons. So the word tribulation, you know, a lot of times the words we use, sometimes you won't find them specifically in the Bible, but they are accurate terms that describe things we're talking about. But the term tribulation is found in the Bible. Actually, the term tribulation comes from the teaching of Jesus. Listen to what is recorded in Mark chapter 3, verses 19, and then verses 24 through 27. And this is where Jesus is talking about the end time events. You know, Jesus talked a lot about his second coming. In fact, in the Bible, there's more verses that deal with the second coming than the first coming of Christ. And here's what Jesus said, "For in those days there will be tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of creation, which God created until this time, nor shall ever be. But in those days, after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven." And so we get the word tribulation as a descriptive term of these 7 years, actually from Jesus himself. Now, according to the Bible, the tribulation will be a period of 7 years, which will occur after the rapture of the church and before the second coming of Jesus Christ. You have the rapture, you have a period of time of chaos in which the Antichrist will ascend into power. You have an indeterminate period of time The tribulation won't begin immediately after the rapture, but there'll be a time when the Antichrist finally ascends, and it won't take a long time for that to happen. And he becomes like the president of the world, president of the UN or whatever, and the recognized leader of all the world countries or that kind of thing. And then he's going to sign that treaty with Israel, and then that's when the clock starts ticking for the 7 years of tribulation. And at the end of the tribulation, you have the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's the timeline of the Bible. The Bible word translated tribulation. You know, I love to study the words. You know, I got a lot of resources, and I love to get into the words. I love to take those Bible words and kind of root down in there and try to get a meaning and how the different words are used. The word tribulation has the idea of crushing in the original language, of pulverizing, of grinding, of pounding something into powder. It's the idea of tremendous, of a crushing, pulverizing kind of thing. So during the tribulation, the earth will be pounded. The earth will be crushed by the final judgments of God. The Bible says that during the time of the tribulation, it will be a time of unprecedented horrors, upheavals, persecutions, natural disasters, massive slaughter, tremendous loss of life, political turmoil, and all of those things will envelop the earth. And you know, Jesus said, you know, about certain things that they are the beginning of sorrows. Now, that's an interesting phrase, the beginning of sorrows. Actually, the translation would be the birth pains. You know, when a woman is about to give birth, her pains begin to become greater and greater, and, you know, the birth pains become greater and greater and eventually all-consuming. And it consumes her. Well, Jesus said there are certain things that have always been, but when you see them begin to happen rapidly, you see them to begin to envelop the earth, you see them to begin to happen with greater frequency and greater intensity, that is a sign of, you know, what is about to happen, and God is about to do something. And so the time of the tribulation will be a horrible time. There is no adequate way to describe how terrible the time of the tribulation will be. It will grow progressively worse during this period. So that's the definition. What is the description of the tribulation? Now, the tribulation is not just described in the New Testament. It's also talked about in the Old Testament. You know, the mystery, you know, the church age was a mystery in the Old Testament. Not revealed in the Old Testament, yet revealed in the New Testament. That's the definition of a mystery, according to the Bible. Something that's not, was never revealed in the Old Testament, but all of a sudden, boom, you got it in the New Testament. The church was a mystery in the Old Testament. There's no mention of the church. There's, you know, descriptions that you could apply to the church, but all of a sudden the church is there in the New Testament, so it's a mystery. Paul called it a mystery, the church. Well, in the tribulation, the end time of suffering, is talked about in the Old Testament. For instance, Moses, in Deuteronomy 32, verse 35, referred to the tribulation, the far distant time of tribulation, and he called it the day of calamity. Zephaniah is a great book. You know, I did a sermon study one time on just, you know, the minor prophets. They're minor because their books are not very long. They were not long-winded preachers. You know, okay, their books are not very long. But Zephaniah is a great book. Zephaniah talks a lot about in his book about the tribulation. He said in Zephaniah 2:2 that it is the day of the Lord's anger. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 1:10 referred to the tribulation as the wrath to come. John called it the hour of trial, Revelation 3:10, and the hour of God's judgment, Revelation 14:7. Daniel described it as a time of trouble such as there never was. Zephaniah 1:15 and 16 describes the tribulation as a worldwide day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and dissolution, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm. Matthew 24, verses 21 through 22, Jesus told us that the tribulation will be an unprecedented time of horror and terror. He said, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor shall ever be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved." No one would survive. The most vivid, however, description of the tribulation period, of course, is found in the central chapters of the book of Revelation. Revelation describes 21 separate judgments that God will send upon the earth during the time of tribulation. And here's just a short synopsis. Revelation says that during the tribulation, hail and fire will burn up the earth's grass and destroy a third of all trees. Intense famine will dry up much of the earth's food supplies. Rivers and seas will become too polluted to sustain life. Many rivers and fresh water sources will dry up completely. The sun will scorch the earth and its inhabitants. A quarter of the world's population will die from war, starvation, and beastly predators. Giant earthquakes accompanied by thunder and lightning will destroy entire cities. Cosmic mountains will crash into the seas, killing a third of all fish. Tidal waves will sink a third of the world's ships. A massive meteor shower will strike the earth, and the ash and the smoke that rises from the devastation will hide the sun and the moon. Swarms of demonic insects will darken the sun and inflict painful stings on human beings. Rampant epidemics and plagues will kill millions of people. Things will get so bad that everyone from national leaders to servants and slaves will flee the cities to hide in caves and under rocks. And to make matters even worse, a maniacal despot known as the Antichrist will rise to worldwide power during the tribulation. He will be multiple times more demonic than Nero, Stalin, and Hitler combined. The Antichrist will demand total allegiance to his satanically inspired rule, and those who resist him will be barred from buying or selling food or anything else. There will be a worldwide mandate to receive the mark. And if you don't get the mark, you can't buy, you can't sell, you can't go here, you can't go there. Mandates are in the news now. It's just, you know, a forerunner of what will come down the pike. I tell you, as you look at the world today, it's like, you know, the play is about to begin and they're setting the stage for this play to begin. It's about to begin and the stage is being set. The Antichrist lust for power will not cease until the entire world, the entire civilized world, chokes in his tyrannical grip. The Antichrist will hate God. Now, initially, he will not be this way. Initially, he will appear to be a lamb. See, he's the Antichrist. He appears to be a lamb. He will be so sweet and so wonderful, and the world will fawn after him. He will be named Time's man of all mankind. You know, and he'll be so sweet and wonderful, but progressively his demonic nature will be revealed as time goes by. He will hate God, he will hate Israel, he will hate those who are saved during the tribulation. That's interesting. Because when the rapture happens, no Christians. all Christians are gone. See, there are a lot of people today who wish that the world would be free of all Christians. Because, see, we get in the way of everything they want to do. You know, we stand in the way of, you know, all of this stuff they want to do. And the Christians are always getting in the way. Always saying, well, God doesn't want us to do this and God that. You know, our Christians are always getting in the way of our plans and our program. The world would be a better place if there were just no Christians. One of these days they're going to get their wish. No Christians. But the Bible teaches that during those 7 years of tribulation, even as God meets out His judgment, multitudes of people will actually be saved and believe in Christ. Not everyone will receive the mark of the beast. And multitudes, and the Bible pictures multitudes of martyrs who were killed by the Antichrist before the throne of God, worshiping in heaven and crying out to God, when will the day come? Well, all of this will be over. You know? John asked one of the angels in one of the scenes of the book of Revelation, well, who are these people? The angel said, these are those who have come out of great tribulation. And so many people will come to Christ and be saved during the tribulation, but they will be hunted down. Initially, you know, the Antichrist, he's got a partner, the false prophet, and you know, he's going to find is not only a one-world government, but a one-world religion. And so religion is a powerful thing. So he's going to have a cohort, and he's going to bring all people together, you know. We will all worship the same God. So let's all come together. We all worship the same God. Let's set aside our differences. You Christians got to get rid of that, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me thing. Y'all got to get that out of the way now. You know, we all, there are many ways to God. You know? And so he's going to have his cohort. But eventually, the Antichrist will, and the false prophet, but eventually he will turn on the Christians because the Christians won't get with the program. See, y'all will not get with the program. What is wrong with y'all? Don't y'all see where humanity can go and what humanity can be if you'll just go along with the program and get away from the Bible? That old book, what is wrong with y'all? Holding to the Bible and the truth of the Bible and saying you're going to live by the Bible, right? That's where we are. And so the tribulation will be hell on earth. And there will be nowhere anyone can go to escape its severity, cruelty, and its brutality. So you have the definition. It is a time of crushing. You have a description, Old Testament, New Testament, description of the tribulation. Now, what about the duration of the tribulation? According to Daniel chapter 7 and 9 and Revelation 12, the tribulation is going to last for 7 years. According to Daniel 9:27, the tribulation begins sometime after the rapture of the church. In the aftermath and the turmoil caused by the rapture of the church, the Antichrist, empowered, eventually embodied by Satan, will come to power in the world. And when the Antichrist, as the leader of the world, signs a 7-year agreement with Israel to secure its peace, supposedly, and allowing Israel to rebuild its temple, that's when the tribulation will begin. And 3.5 years later, the Antichrist is going to break that treaty with Israel. First of all, he appears to be a friend of Israel, but he's going to break that treaty with Israel and demand and say, I have a great announcement. I'm the God y'all been worshiping. That's what the Antichrist is going to say. Hello, I'm the God you've been worshiping. And so we're going to put, you know, my statue of me in the temple and you're going to worship me. And so we'll talk about that in a minute. And according to Mark 13:24, the tribulation will end when the second coming of Jesus Christ. So you got a 7-year period of time. So what is the design? What is the purpose of the tribulation? Why? Why? Why will there be this time? Why does this happen? The tribulation will be God's judgment on mankind's increasing rebellion and rampant sin. Just as the world's sin and rebellion led to Noah's flood, so the ever-increasing sin and rebellion of mankind in the last days will eventually lead to the tribulation. The tribulation is a program planned by God to accomplish three important goals. Why the tribulation? Number one, the first goal is to purify and draw Israel to Himself. The Jewish nation exists as a result of God's promise to Abraham. It is an eternal promise, a promise that cannot be broken. God promised Abraham that his seed would be as numerous as the stars in heaven, and that the Jewish nation will endure throughout all eternity. God chose the Jewish nation to be His witnessing nation to the world. God didn't choose the Jews to the exclusion of all the other nations. He chose the Jews because He loved all the other nations, and He wanted there to be a people who would demonstrate to the world His glory and who He is, and witness to the world of the one true God. Well, Israel never fulfilled that purpose. Time and again throughout its history, Israel turned away from God. Finally, in collusion with the Romans, Israel even put the Messiah that God sent them to death. And that Messiah, of course, was Jesus Christ. And so Israel has never fulfilled God's purpose of being His witnessing nation to the world. To this day, they have not fulfilled that purpose. Will Israel ever... Now, the church didn't replace Israel. The church took its place as the witnessing nation of the world, but God's promises to Israel are still very much in force. Will Israel ever fulfill God's purpose for that nation? Yes, it will. And it will do so during the time of the tribulation. It's an amazing thing. The Bible teaches that as a result of the treachery of the Antichrist, as the result of the preaching of two witnesses who are going to appear in Israel outside the walls of the temple, and you pretty well can surmise that, bless their hearts, Moses and Elijah, who have, you know, been enjoying eternity, the Lord's going to say, hey, boys, come here. I'm going to send you back. They appear outside the walls of the temple in Jerusalem, and they began to preach the truth about God, about Christ, and the truth about the Antichrist. And so as a result of the treachery of the Antichrist, the preaching of these two witnesses, and just the work of God in the life of Israel, the eyes of the Jewish people will finally be opened. Midway through the tribulation, the Bible teaches in mass, Israel will finally receive Jesus, turn to Jesus, receive Him as their Messiah, trust in Him as their Savior and Lord. And then the nation of Israel, as represented in the book of Revelation by 144,000 witnesses, will cover the earth with their witness for Christ. They will finally, Israel will finally be God's witnessing nation to the world. As a result, the Antichrist will turn on Israel with a vengeance. He will martyr multitudes of believing Jews. He will martyr many of their converts. If you're saved during the tribulation, there's a good shot you're not going to make it out alive. But that's all right, right? Because don't fear him who can kill the body only, right? This is what the Bible means when it says in Romans 11:26, Paul wrote this, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. That's talking about the conversion of Israel to receive Christ during the time of the tribulation. So that's the first purpose of the tribulation. Why the tribulation? To purify and draw Israel to himself. Second of all, to punish sinners. The second purpose of the time of tribulation is to punish sinners. When the rebellious people of Noah's day reached the tipping point, the point of no return, God brought His judgment on the earth. We don't like to think about God and His judgment and His wrath. You know, we want to just focus on God's love And we should focus on God's grace and mercy and His forgiving nature. But God not only is a loving God, but He is also a holy God and a God of justice. When old Isaiah went into the temple that day and he saw a vision of God in Isaiah chapter 6, saw a vision of God on His throne, and those angels were antiphonally worshiping the Lord. When he heard those angels, they didn't say, love, 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 love. They said, holy, 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 holy. When the rebellious people of Sodom and Gomorrah reached the tipping point, the point of no return, God brought His judgment on those cities. One day this rebellious and evil world will reach the tipping point, the point of no return with God, and God will bring His judgment. Now, here's an important thing to remember about the judgment of God. God's judgment only comes after His grace and mercy has been long rejected and denied. God is long-suffering. That means He puts up with us for a long time. He stores up His wrath. God never responds first with wrath. He always responds first with grace and mercy and opportunity to repent and be saved. And a person can reject God and turn from God for a long time, and God will be patient with that person and long-suffering. But there comes a time, God's Spirit will not always strive with man. And there comes a time when mercy and grace has been denied, long denied, and then judgment will come. During the time of the tribulation, a patient and loving God will bring His judgment to bear on an ever increasingly evil world. This is a world beyond repentance. This is a world that has become set in evil. Individuals will be saved during the time of the tribulation, but for many in the last days, during the time of the tribulation, there is no repentance. Their hearts have become set as stone in evil. And God will bring His judgment to bear. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Nahum, when is the last time you read the book of Nahum in the Old Testament? Who here can say that their favorite book in the Bible is the book of Nahum? You know, it's that one of those little books, but it's so rich. Nahum explained God's wrath against sin this way. Nahum 1, verses 2 and 3. The Lord is a jealous and an avenging God. The Lord takes vengeance and is fierce in wrath. The Lord takes vengeance against His foes. He is furious with His enemies. The Lord is slow to anger, but great in power. The Lord will never leave the guilty unpunished. So why the tribulation? To purify and draw Israel to Himself, and to bring punishment. Now, you know, God is a long-suffering God. He put up with me for a long time. You know, God deserved to take me out long before I ever turned to Him. Yeah. If no ever pray, oh God, give us justice. No, you want grace. You know, you don't want justice. You want grace from God. God is you know, His grace is always first. But if you deny that grace long enough, judgment will come. And here's what I personally believe. When God judges, there's tears in His eyes. You know, the Bible talks about God's tears. Because God desires that none perish, but all come to repentance. Well, there comes a time when people have become so set that they've gone beyond the point. They've reached the point of no return. It's not because God has shut the door, but they've shut the door. And their heart has become so hardened. The third reason why there'll be a tribulation is to give lost sinners one more chance to be saved. Even as God is pouring out His wrath in the tribulation, He's still reaching out to the lost with His grace. You know, God could end that whole situation in a nanosecond. Why take 7 years? The fact that He takes 7 years to pour out His wrath is an expression of His grace. Because during those 7 years, as judgment and after judgment falls on the earth, multitudes are going to be saved. You know, the same sun, the sun hardens clay and softens butter, right? The same sun will harden clay and soften butter. During the time of God's tribulation, some hearts will harden, others will soften. Some will hate God more because of what is happening. Some will turn to Christ. And during the time of the tribulation, you know, God is a God of grace and mercy. His judgment always comes last. So to give sinners one more chance to be saved. And, you know, think about it. You'll have the two witnesses. You'll have the 144,000 Israelites on the internet. The Antichrist will try to control the internet. I have a good friend of mine who calls it the ninternet. And you can't control the ninternet. See, we talk about global things. I have a Facebook friend in South Africa. And I can communicate with that Facebook friend, boom, just like that. He's a preacher in South Africa. Now, when has that ever been possible? Right? As it is now, we are truly globally, the world has shrunk. I mean, the technology is here. And think about the silent witness. Now, all of y'all are going to be gone in the rapture, right? Y'all will be, right? Right? Well, what about these folks left behind? Some of them are going to want to go down there to that church and find out what's going on. Something's not right. They're going to find the Bibles and the studies and the copies of sermons and things like that. And they're, you know, that's a silent witness. Many will come to faith in Christ. So that's the tribulation. Its definition, its description, its duration, and its design. No one wants to be on earth during the time of the tribulation. And listen, after the rapture of the church, it's not going to be easier to be saved. It's going to be harder. Because the spiritual atmosphere of the world is going to change. And two, it's a time of persecution. And, you know, people are going to pay a price for following Christ. You know, what if we had to pay a price for following Jesus now? Yeah, that's how God purifies His church. Persecution purifies the church, separates the true believers from the make-believers. So, but that's some of what the Bible teaches about the tribulation. Now, next week, we're going to look at those two witnesses, 144,000. By the way, those are not the Jehovah's Witnesses. Bless their hearts.